Said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And we're not going to bring about justice for his chosen ones. We cry out to him, Daniel. We're going to keep putting him off. I tell you, you'll see that they get justice. However, when the Son of Man comes, he'll find faith on earth. This is what we'll do.
Welcome to church, everyone. Thank you for everyone who's joining us. Shout out to my family in Armidale and my granny and my cousin and Bill and Jess joining us from hotel quarantine. We're going to do something different tonight. It's different already because instead of speaking to you, I'm speaking to a camera, and we're going to just keep that thing going, and we're going to do a team sermon tonight. Monique and I are going to come and share what Jesus has to say about prayer. And we're going to look at Luke. We're going to have a look at, what does Jesus say about prayer, the power of prayer, why we should pray. And that's what I'm going to do. And then Monique's going to come up later and just share what does that mean for us individually and what does that mean for us as a church. So I wanted to say I'm excited for tonight. I've spent the week looking at prayer and considering it and wrestling with it. And I think it comes from a really good time, particularly during lockdown. There's a lot of people, the extroverts out there, the single people out there, the people who are living alone. This can be a really isolating and lonely time. But the good news is that Jesus is close to everyone and he wants to talk to us. And that's what prayer is. It's a conversation, and it's a great gift. So, keen to dig into the passage tonight. Many things can be said about prayer, but we're going to just focus in on what Jesus has to say to his disciples. So, we're going to be looking at prayer, and if my pointer works, we're going to be looking at, for those who are taking notes, we're going to look at the power of prayer, praying for justice, and priorities of prayer. So the first thing, the first but simple thing I just want to observe about prayer is that Jesus tells us to pray. Look at me at verse 1 in Luke 18. He says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should pray." If you're like me and sometimes struggle with the theology of prayer or grapple with, if God's in control and sovereign, what's the point of praying? However you want to rationalize prayer, I just want to point out this simple truth that Jesus tells us to pray. And Jesus wouldn't tell us to pray if there was no point or no power in doing so. So the second observation I want to make about prayer is it comes from this parable and the fact that there's power and persistence in prayer because of who our God is. So I want to look at the parable Jesus says here. Parables, they're a fictional story. They're not true events. And Jesus often uses these parables as part of his teaching. So people can go home with a story in their head and they can think about what does that mean and wrestle with it. And here we have Jesus telling his disciples, imagine there is a town. Imagine that there is an unjust judge who he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care about his own reputation. He doesn't care especially about this widow. So there's a widow, and her only tool or weapon here is persistence. And she keeps coming to him day in and day out. And we read in verse 4 and 5, "For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or I care what people think, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I'll see that she gets justice.'" Jesus is making the simple point If an evil, unloving, selfish judge can't ignore persistence, why do we think our loving Father would ignore our persistent prayers? And how often do we too easily give up on praying when we don't see change? And tonight, Jesus wants us to challenge this posture that we have about prayer. In verse 7 and 8, he says, "Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Will he cry when they cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off like the unjust judge? No. I tell you, he will see that they get justice quickly." Here Jesus is contrasting God against this fictional unjust judge to highlight how much more radical and loving our Father is who we pray to, and therefore how much more power is in persistent prayer because of who God is, because he loves us. And he promises us that he's always listening and active and at work. So, second point, praying for justice. So there is power in prayer. Jesus tells us to pray, and he tells us to pray persistently and not give up because of who God is. But what does it mean for us to pray for justice? We see in this parable there's a widow praying for justice. We see that Jesus says that God will bring justice for all those who cry out to him day and night, which implies that we're crying out to God for justice. And I want to just question, what does this look like to pray for justice? And to understand this, we have to do a little bit of work, a little bit of digging, and it's important to look at the context of our passage. So just, if you turn just to the passage before our passage that was read, you'll notice in verse 1 of Luke 18, we see in our passage that it says that then Jesus told his disciples a parable. And with words like then, it's good to just highlight something was just said before that. So what Jesus has just said to his disciples before we reach our passage radically frames how we should think about prayer. Jesus has just finished talking plainly about the ultimate reality, which is also fitting for us as a church. We've just finished our sermon series on Revelation, exploring these big truths of heaven and earth and justice and what God is doing. And right here, Jesus himself talks plainly about these simple but profound truths. So, look at me for Luke 17, verses 20. There's five simple truths. Jesus says that to the Pharisees, when they ask him, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is in their midst." And that's the first truth, that Jesus, at this point in the story, is on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows that he's going towards his death, but he knows God is going to raise him from the dead, and he knows that, like for us now, that he will then be ruling, and Jesus reigns now. And he's at work through his people and through the Holy Spirit. Truth two, he promises that he will return. Truth three, he says it's going to be obvious. He says it's going to be like lightning which flashes up in the sky, and it's not going to be like this is Jesus here or this is Jesus there. And if today I was watching a Vice documentary and there's a Russian cult leader who claimed to be Christ who was arrested last year. But yeah, Jesus says it's not going to be like that. He says it's going to be obvious. He says it's going to be unexpected. Verse 27 of 17, he says people are going to be eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage. People will be buying and selling. It's going to be sudden and it's going to be unexpected. And it's going to be final. Jesus says that he's going to bring final justice to the world, and everyone is going to be held accountable. One will be taken and the other one left. So, these are big things that Jesus is talking about, and the question we should be asking ourselves is, how does this reality shape how we pray? Well, truth one is that Jesus reigns now. therefore, in the face of injustice, God calls us to pray to him with persistence and without ceasing. Why? Because he is listening and active. He reigns and is at work in this world. He cares for people. He cares for you. He cares and he is at work in the darkest of circumstances. Jesus wants us to come to God with all kinds of requests, to ask him and to not underestimate him, to not underestimate the power of prayer. Pray as Jesus taught his disciples a few chapters back in Luke 11. And as we pray in church, that may your will be done on earth. So he encourages us to relentlessly pray for justice in our world, now and in our lives. Whatever we might be facing, like the widow. But I'm sure many of us pray time and time again for something and we see no change. How are we to respond to this? How are we meant to make sense of this? How are we meant to not just give up on prayer when we're praying for something consistently and see nothing? Well, simply put, Jesus himself says that he's going to return one day and he's going to bring ultimate justice. He's just explained to his disciples this in Luke 17. So in the face of so much injustice and brokenness in our world, when it seems like evil triumphs, when Christians are suffering while the wicked, the selfish, the foolish seem to be prospering, we can see this all around us. When people seem to be getting away with terrible things, you might deep down question, what is God doing about it? If God is powerful and mighty and at work, why doesn't he come and just stop all this evil that we see around us? Well, that's exactly what he has promised he will do. When he returns, as we've heard from Richard a couple of weeks ago in Revelation 21, God is coming to dwell with his people. And he says he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There's going to be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. And the old order of things has passed away. Are we praying to this reality? And we should pray into this reality. We should find peace and comfort in the truth that when we face injustice, God is returning one day to bring justice. And there's a great comfort in this truth, and there will be a day where everyone will have to give account for their actions. And that's going to be happening soon, as Jesus promises in verse 7 and 8. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, I'll see that they get justice and quickly. Which brings us briefly to our third and our final point. In light of this reality, what are our prayer priorities? We've read that persistence in prayer is powerful. And Jesus wants us to turn to prayer when we face injustice, consistently praying for his justice to overcome the evil we see on earth now, but also taking part in the ultimate promise that justice is coming. But Jesus wants this to impact our prayer. In verse 8 we read, God will bring justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, when that day comes, when justice comes, will he find faith on earth? This is where Jesus, if he had a mic, would drop it. If mics were better 2,000 years ago. Yes, prayer is powerful. Yes, keep praying. But when I return, will I find faith on earth, says Jesus. This question is the thrust of our entire passage. At the core of our prayer life should be a persistent request and prayer for people around us to come to faith. You know, we often get so caught up in what we see, the world around us and our longings for things in our lives, or praying for the world around us, which, to be clear, are good things, and God calls us to pray for these things. But in light of the ultimate reality that Jesus is speaking of, what we've been reading about in Revelations? Are we persistently praying for people's ultimate need? That's the point Jesus is making in verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus calls us to keep praying, keeping in mind the ultimate reality, trusting God with justice, and praying for the ultimate justice to come. But as we pray for that day to come, do we realize that on that day, people's ultimate need will not be money or health or more mobility, relationships, a job promotion, or good results at home? On that day, people's ultimate need will be faith in Jesus. And prayer is our tool. We don't know when Jesus will return, but we do know why that he delays. Because he's giving people more time to stop, to respond, and to turn to him. His plan to bring more people to the knowledge of himself. And he has not returned because there is more work to be done. Therefore, each morning, when you wake up and he hasn't returned, stop and recognize that today is a gift. God has plans to grow his kingdom before he returns. The moments that remain are opportunities for God to work through us, together as a church or individually, be that in our workplace or university or in our everyday interactions with others. Use prayer to align yourself with his will and work on earth so that he can work through. Jesus is telling us to don't give up on prayer and to be bold in prayer. Pray for people's ultimate need. Pray for people's, the faith of those around us. So whatever God has put on your heart or on your path, be that a friend or a family member or a colleague, don't ignore that voice. Keep praying and trust God's words tonight. And he says, don't give up in prayer. God has plans for all people to turn to him. So be bold and pray for faith. Persistence is key. This is a great truth, and we're going to hear from Monique now as we just wrestle with that truth of prayer and the power of prayer.
Thanks so much, Mickey. Yeah, for sharing that word with us. That was super awesome and encouraging and helping us to better see what Jesus has to say about prayer and about God in that passage. I really hope and pray that God's Spirit and truth will impact our hearts tonight to really believe that teaching that Mickey's just run us through and to help us all come to deeply love prayer. I just want to thank everyone on Zoom because I know it's really hard to focus and stay engaged. So thank you for tuning in, and I'm only going to be talking for about another 10 minutes, so I encourage you to refocus. If anyone knows me, I talk a lot, so I have got a bit of a thing here to kind of rein me in so I don't talk forever. So feel free, not to focus too much on me, but just to hear what I'm saying and try and reflect really deeply on it. I encourage you to do that over the next 10 minutes or so. Essentially, I'm just going to be sharing my heart on how awesome and important prayer is and a little bit on how we can respond to this as a church. But pretty much I hope to just get us really excited about praying. So if you can keep that in your mind as we go through the next little bit and a few more passages from other parts of the Bible. The point is to be excited about these things. So I encourage you to have that in your heart as you're listening. I want to start by just acknowledging what an honour it is to be able to be up here speaking about prayer tonight. And also just to honour those up there who are already such incredible prayer warriors in our community. Not only those who pray up at the front as at church, but especially those who pray consistently and faithfully in their own time. In giving this talk on prayer, I want to start very transparent that I don't believe that I do all of the things that I'm going to be encouraging us with tonight, at least not as well as I'd like to. But that's not the point of my sharing tonight. The point is that I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus and someone who prays the way that he has taught us to pray. So I hope that by sharing my heart and my excitement based off this passage and other parts of the Bible, that you're really encouraged to desire that too in your own life. And that together as a church, we can want to be a people that pray and have the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for. So the first first thing I'll touch on is in verse 7, and I apologize if any of my words are a little bit different because I was in ESV and I didn't realize we were in NIV. So verse 7 says, "Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." One thing I want to address, which I think is a challenge for us in getting excited about praying and really believing the truth that's in this verse, is that the reality is sometimes we're disappointed because we feel like we haven't really seen it in our lives. I'm sure we've probably all had a personal experience of praying, of asking God for justice, of seeking God, and feeling like maybe we didn't get an answer. But I also know that we are probably very comfortable saying things like, "I know that God hears me, I know that God loves me, I know that God is just." So when we don't always see answers to our prayers, we have this tension of saying that we believe these things about God, but that having tried praying in faith for things before, and maybe being disappointed or just eventually giving up, getting comfortable in that tension of knowing who God is intellectually, but then just having a really hard time persisting in praying like those things about God are really true. Having a hard time continuing to pray like it is true that God doesn't delay, or that he will give justice speedily. Getting comfortable in that space of, on the one hand, knowing these things about God and about his character, and believing them to an extent, maybe to the extent that you'll even happily share those things about God to other people, but then on the other hand, giving up on or just not praying as though we really believe these things. And I know I definitely have been in that spot, and I'm probably still there to some extent, because I know what truly believing this passage would look like in my life, and I know that it's not currently like that. But this is not a message of condemnation, it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to all of us, and it's definitely an encouragement to me to not just hear a sermon on a passage, on this passage, and to not just know things about God, but to really put these things into practice in my life and to pray in accordance with what I know of God to be true. So my hope is that we wouldn't just hear this parable and understand what it means and what it's saying, but that we would allow it to sit heavy in our hearts tonight, that we let it sink in, and that we would dwell on it a little bit more so that it becomes part of what's written in our hearts and part of who we are and how we live and how we pray. A story that immediately came to my mind when I heard we were doing this passage was a story in Daniel chapter 10, which I encourage everyone to go and read in full because it's an amazing story and I don't really have a lot of time to talk about it. But one verse that I thought was relevant to our passage today is in the book of Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. So Daniel, 21 days earlier, had prayed to God, and in this verse, an angel appears to him and says, "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." It's a very powerful story and a powerful statement relating to prayer. There's more to the story that I encourage you to read, but the point today is that from the moment that Daniel opened his mouth and prayed to God, God heard him and responded. I love this story. I think it reveals something about God and about prayer that should excite us. Personally, it makes me want to pray. It makes me want to pray about everything that I find important in life. And I think an important thing is that it doesn't make me want to pray later tonight or tomorrow or next week at church. It makes me want to pray right now, because if God hears me as soon as I pray, then I don't want to put it off. So I think that's a really encouraging part of that story. Because I want all of my friends and my family and my loved ones who don't know Jesus to know Jesus. I want the brokenhearted to be comforted. I want justice for the oppressed. I want the sick to be healed and for the lost to be saved. The point being that prayer is awesome. God is awesome. And we should be excited to pray and not let anything delay us in praying and asking for God's kingdom to come now. The story of Daniel also shows him persisting in prayer. Daniel not only prayed, but he prayed for 21 days and he didn't give up. Daniel lives this incredible experience of seeing an answer to his prayer in a very obvious way through an angel. But we also know of so many people, both in the Bible and in our own lives, who may have done similar, who may have persisted in their prayers and not seen any answers, at least in their lifetime. And I want to acknowledge that. But I still hold to the truth of this story of Daniel's prayer, because God is the same today as he was back then. God continues to answer our prayers, and he continues to want us to pray. As in our passage tonight, Jesus tells us this parable so that we will always pray and not lose heart, even and especially when we don't see answers. Which brings us to verse 8. As Nikki mentioned, Jesus leaves us with this kind of pondering where he says, "Will I find faith on earth when I come back?" This passage also brought a verse to my mind, which is Hebrews 11, verse 1, that says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." I love this verse. I'm a bit of a stickler for definitions and semantics, and I'm a law student, so I think that plays into why I love this verse so much. It kind of just surprisingly provides us with this neat kind of definition of faith. It tells us that faith is the assurance of things that we hope for. Faith is having convictions of the things that we can't see. I think this is another thing that we find really hard and can almost be discouraging to our faith at times, which is a bit ironic because on the one hand, when we don't see the things in our life that we're hoping for, we can get discouraged in our faith. But on the other hand, this verse is telling us that is faith. Faith is not seeing things, but believing them anyway. Like this verse says, faith is having conviction about the things that we cannot see. So, when we aren't seeing that person that we're praying for getting better, coming to know Jesus, or whatever other good thing that we're praying for, instead of despairing at the lack of seeing what we hope for, we can rest and have peace, knowing that that is faith, hoping for these things, and being sure that God is listening, even if we don't see any changes. Not seeing change does not mean that we've done something wrong. It doesn't mean that we don't have enough faith or any other fear or concern that we might have about our prayers. Not seeing the answer but continuing to pray is faith, because we are putting our trust in a person, not in an outcome. We are putting our trust in the one that sees everything, past, present, and future. We're trusting in God and his understanding, not our own. Faith is standing in this assurance and this conviction of our hopes, because they rest on the person of Jesus Christ, the God that we know is trustworthy. So Daniel's is an incredible and an encouraging story, but so is not seeing an answer to our prayers and continuing to pray anyway, to keep praying and to not give up. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is the pondering that Jesus ends the parable with. Even though we don't see him now, we believe. We are sure of the hope that we have in him. May this extend from our saving faith in him into our prayer life, that we would pray in faith, believing in a God that does not delay, knowing that we are not talking to an unjust God, an unjust judge, in the hope of wearing him down. We are talking to a loving and just God, the only righteous judge in all of existence, and a God of compassion. He is the one we are talking to when we pray. So the point is to be excited. Hopefully you remember that from the beginning, and that's been framing everything. I wanted to get us very excited about praying, that we want to pray all the time and never stop, which is obviously easier said than done. But prayer is this incredible gift, and it is so powerful. And it's this mysterious opportunity that God gives us to come into alignment with his will and to be a person that knows him and who is partnering with him by asking for heaven to come to earth, for his kingdom to reign here, for the sick to be healed, and for the lost to be saved. And it's incredible that God would give us this gift, that we, broken and sinful humans, are given this opportunity not only to talk to God, but to see his incredible power at work through our prayers. He's given us this gift and he's asked us to use it unceasingly and without giving up hope. So my hope is that we don't take it for granted, and that through prayer we would come to experience an intimate relationship with God and know that he is powerfully at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us. I know deep in my soul that I love prayer and that I want to pray more. I know how important it is, I know how powerful it is. I wouldn't be up here talking if I didn't believe in it. Yet I can find it so hard to pray regularly and consistently. But my encouragement and belief is that now is the best time to start praying more and to start praying like this, persistently and in line with who we know God to be from this passage. Someone who will bring justice, but is patient with us because of his desire for all to be saved. Someone who asks us to always pray and to never lose heart. I sincerely hope tonight that we wouldn't stop at just listening to this sermon and to understanding this passage, but but that we would also believe what it has to say about God and about prayer, and that we would believe it deeply in our hearts and let it impact how we live our lives. I hope that you're excited. I'm very excited. Theo and Nikki both used the word excited as well, which I thought was very on theme, even though they didn't know that was going to be such a big point of my talk. And I encourage you to decide what you want to do about that. I encourage you to do whatever it is that you need to apply whatever you feel God is speaking to you tonight in whatever way you feel led. Another simple and maybe more specific suggestion is to come along to 5 p.m. prayer. This is a space and an opportunity that we have as a church to put our beliefs into action and to come and pray. And maybe you don't need to be encouraged to pray more tonight. Maybe you're one of those prayer warriors that I mentioned earlier. But maybe God wants to use you to encourage the rest of us, like me, who find it hard to pray regularly and consistently. So please consider coming along. We are a family and a community, a body with many parts, and we do need each other. I've been so blessed by this pre-service prayer time over the past few weeks, not just in praying more myself, but in the experience of gathering with others to pray. It is a simple but powerful space in which I see and feel the reality of our reliance on God and our trust in Him. And while we are praying for others, God is really blessing me through it. And my hope for us as a church is that we would all be involved and be blessed by it. And that by first experiencing this rich blessing that talking to God in prayer brings us, that in good time God will fill us up and help us to overflow and be a blessing to others both in this church and in the wider community. That by connecting with Him and praying for His will be a community rich in love for each other and for all of those around us that we encounter in our day-to-day lives. That we will be light in the darkness, and that we will burn so brightly with the love of Christ that many may come to believe in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are a just and loving God. We thank You for sending Your Son, who You love so much, to die for us. We thank You for Your love and forgiveness, and I ask that You would help us all to grow in loving and forgiving others as You have done for us. I pray for those near and dear to us who don't yet know You, that You would reveal Your Son Jesus to them and that they would have faith in Him. I pray for those of us here who may be finding it hard to have faith in who You are, God. Please help us all to know You and to trust You more. And as we use this incredible gift that You have given us of being able to talk to You in prayer, both to be loved by You and to love You by trusting You and Your will for us and this world, we pray that Your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that You would help us. Help us to believe Jesus' words that we have heard tonight and give us the motivation to pray. In His mighty name and for His glory. Amen.